Genesis chapter 50, we have an example, amen, here that I'm going to start off with. You don't have to go there, but I'm going to go there and hear what the Lord has to say in Genesis chapter 50. Verse 19 and 20, it's a familiar scripture verse. You can write it down for your reference, but you don't need to go there. Genesis 50, verse 19 says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much alive." Amen. And then let us head over, praise the Lord, to Psalms 37. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version because I'm the one preaching. Hallelujah. "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteous, that is, not upright or in the right standing with God." Verse 2 says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 3, "Trust," means lean on, rely on, be confident in the Lord and do good. Look at your neighbor and say, "Trust in the Lord." "So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly ye shall be fed." Verse 3, 4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your hearts." We have an example here that we just read in the book of Genesis, and it's Joseph talking to his brothers. And in verse 19, after discovering who he is, they were very fearful that a retribution was about to fall upon them, and their heads were going to be put in a damnable situation, according to verse 19, amen, to 21 in the same book of Genesis chapter 50. We have been delivered from many things. God has been so kind to you and I, delivered us from despicable and horrific circumstances. I don't know if there's anything more wonderful than just being delivered. Anybody been delivered in the house? Amen. And I'm sure you've been in trouble to the point where you would almost lose your mind and you feel the grip and the pain and anguish of having to deal with something horrific and horrible and painful. And then one day, out of nowhere, God just sends down his hand and delivers you and sets you free. It is interesting here, the attitude of David in the book of Psalms 37. He's allowed to express his internal feelings outwardly and talk, amen, about the problems as he feels it, as he deals with God. I don't know about you, how have you ever really talked to God? I mean, really deal with God. I'm a born Canadian, and I can't speak Jamaican the way that I really want to. So I have to use the, you know, when a Canadian word says the word deal with somebody, it doesn't come out the same way when a Jamaican says deal with somebody. It's a different type of an English. Hello, somebody. And so it don't have the same impact, but forgive me here. But David was dealing with God. And I don't know if you ever dealt with God in such a way when you've been angry and you said, "God, come down, let me just talk to you." And in such a way where you begin to express yourself. And some writers throughout the scriptures oftentimes would be allowed by God to complain and even speak very discouraging about how they would be feeling and about what's going on around them. And when life is whipping you and things are horrific and horrible and you run across across some people that will tell you to hold on and just go through it, and they will try to encourage you, but life just keeps on whipping you and whipping you, and you want to say how unhappy you are feeling right about now. And oftentimes you turn it towards God. You turn your anger, your emotions towards God. And you want God to hear it. And you want him to understand how you feel in spite of all the praise that you're giving him and all the worship that you're giving to him. I'm just hurting right about now, and I need some way to express my pain. Some of you are too sanctimonious in here. Can I just talk to somebody who's ever been in pain? Some of you who have been too hurt, amen. Some of you who are real to yourselves and say, I'm the one. Yes, preacher, it is me you're talking to. If I just listen to Paul and read Philippians and Corinthians and Ephesians and how he demonstrates his power for the love he has for God with all that he has gone through, I would have lost my mind, because I would never think that I could achieve that level of spirituality and joy that Paul would have. But I like this book of Psalms. The writer can say how he felt. Amen. And I could identify with that, because there are times when I want to complain a little bit. And I want to say that I don't like what is happening right about now. And I don't feel good about a certain situation. If you have some plans later, Lord, I just want to call you into the closet a little bit and discuss some things with you and deal with you in a certain way. But what the Psalms did is it helped me to understand that I am not the only one feeling this type of way. That you can be a giant in God, and you can be anointed in God, hallelujah, and feel good about your salvation. And from time to time, run into a circumstance that will call for a bit of uneasiness. God has a way of just waiting around until things get really, really, really bad and really, really, really antsy. Until, hallelujah, people get really nervous and it looks like you just want to come out. But that's when he shows up, because that's the time that he gets the glory, and that's the time he gets the praise. Clap your hands and give the Lord a praise. This is a good place to give him the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. It speaks then of a circumstance that has to get so out of hand that it moves us into areas of nervousness. You're not the only one that gets nervous, even though they smile through it and give the impression that they're going to be just fine. We don't always mention to someone that we are nervous. We don't always tell people that I'm going through something right now and I'm scared and I'm fearful, but the feelings is there, and we've got to pretend sometimes that those feelings are not there so that other people around you don't start feeling the same way that you are, because you're the captain of the sea. You're the chief. You are the one that they are relying on. Your children are looking to you. Your family is looking up to you. And if you break, then they are going to break too. And when you get nervous and jittery, you begin to question your walk with God. You begin to wonder, where is God in the midst of what I'm going through? What did the preacher have to say? Everyone said that the Lord will show up. Then where is he in the midst of what I'm going through right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. The psalmist is allowed to scream. He's allowed to speak his mind and speak his peace. In the middle of this battle that we begin to search God out, we have a tendency here that while things are going well in our lives, we forget about who God is. But when things are going bad, we go to God and wonder if God can deliver us. We question, are we in the right spiritual place? Am I walking with God like I should? He's speaking and I am not hearing him. Did I miss something? God leaves himself open to be questioned. And that's why he doesn't run, hallelujah, right away to help you. He allows you to have a temper tantrum. Oh yes. He allows you to be upset with yourself. He'll allow you to go through the emotions. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you look across the street at your neighbors, hallelujah, who is not a church-going person, and in the middle of your struggle, you're saying to yourself, hallelujah, how could it be that you look at your neighbor, somebody who is not going to church and looks like he is living a better life, while you who are going to church, you who are paying your tithes, you who are doing everything that you should be doing, is going through a roller coaster ride? You all are quiet today. Am I preaching to somebody in the house? I'm gearing up. Let me just drop this to you a little bit. And all of this sends your attitude into a different type of an emotion, because you're saying to yourself, you're doing everything that you should be doing, hallelujah, but yet you are a suffering saint. They're prospering and they are ungodly, and that sends you into a roller coaster. It sends your emotions. God, I shouldn't be struggling the way I am struggling. I am a child of God. I don't know how many of you have ever backed God up in a corner and held him to his word and reminded him of his promises, because if you're praying, there's some times when what God promises you, it is not looking close to it at all. Sometimes the promise looks way off in the distance, way off in the future. You're wondering to yourself, God, how come I'm going through all of what I'm going through? You promised me that I would be in good peace. You promised me, God, that you have good thoughts concerning me. Oh God, I wish I could preach this thing like I really wanted to. Oh God, have you ever backed him up in a corner and said, God, this is your word against my life? Now I've got to deal with the embarrassment. I've got to deal with the shame in my family. I've got to deal with the hurt and the pain on my job. And I'm the one that wakes up every morning and I worship you and I serve you. David got himself into a situation where he held God in a corner. And this is there that I discovered that Psalms 37, the writer David is not writing this, hallelujah, in his early life, but he is writing this in his old age. And it indicates here the value of what he is saying to me, because in the early Psalms, he talks about his search for theology in the midst of his experience. He said, my foot almost slipped looking at the wicked. Hello, somebody. But now I discovered in Psalms 37 in his old age that you have to have gone through something in a period of a time in order to become mellow in the things that you have to face today. I cannot take it from an early David, but I can take it from a later David. I couldn't take it from a young saint, but I could take it from an older saint. When he says, fret not thyself. Don't get nervous anymore because of what people do to you. Touch your neighbor for the first time and say, I need deliverance from people. I wish I could help it in the house. I need deliverance from people. He delivered me from drugs and he delivered you from alcohol. But I just got to get delivered from some of these people. That's my problem today. I've got to get over mean people. I've got to get over malicious people. I've got to get over calculating people. I've got to get over conspiring people. I've got to get over whispering people. I've got to get over people on my job. I've got to get over people on the ministry. I need help, God. Just deliver me from people, because some folks will let me lose my mind. It is here that the writer has got to escape of maturity in his walk. And you can take stuff from people who are mature that you cannot take from little babies, because you're wondering, how do you, because I've heard people with a lot of opinions but have no experience. And this is why people got to go through some stuff in order to be able to put your signature on certain attitudes. You can't talk about how broke you are, hallelujah, if you've been living a good life all your life. You can't talk to me about, oh glory to God, you would
divorce. If you have never been married before, the devil is a liar. This doesn't make no sense. You cannot take these things. Don't tell me how, hallelujah, how to run my business until you have had a business and you can go through the process. Oh, good God Almighty, because God might put you in something. He said, I wouldn't put more on you than what you can bear, but God will put you in something just so that you can be a help to somebody else. Clap your hands and give the Lord a praise. You don't need the inexperienced telling you how to operate, but I need somebody who's been to hell and back. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to get ready to preach in just a little while. How do you know how to act when you're broke? Oh, my God. I remember the days my mother had no money when I was younger. Oh, God. I didn't know it then that we were broke. Oh, glory to God. But she was broke. And by the type of food that she would have to buy, can tell that you are broke. You couldn't buy the steak and the lobster. But when you have to live off canned food for a long time, you didn't have the money because resources would go somewhere else. You don't know how to act when you're broke. I tell my children, right now they have a good life. If I tried to feed them sardines in a can, if I tried to give them the bully beef, if from the can they look at me like I'm crazy. But I have to remind them, this is what brought me here. This is the goodness of the land. Hello, somebody. You fried a little corned beef and you fried a little dumpling, and that was dinner some of the days. Hello, can I preach in the house? Hallelujah, Jesus. So what the writer here now says to me, do not be afraid. Do not be fretful. Isn't this how the verse started out? Oh, God Almighty, he forbids me of sitting around acting like I don't have joy. He forbids me to go, hallelujah, around where people don't like me and gives me the impression that they are big enough to stop me. He forbids me, hallelujah, on taking an attitude of negativity because somebody else is negative towards me. He says it's forbidden that when you've been through enough in life, you understand that God brings you through in spite of people. He forbids you to act like God is not on your side. Don't give the impression, hallelujah, that you're already defeated when you're just waiting on God to show up in the midst. And just because I'm waiting on God to show up, it does not mean that I'm defeated. But slap your neighbor and say, I'm just waiting on God. Hallelujah. And since I've got to wait anyway, I might as well praise him instead of complaining. Throw up your hands and say, I'm going to praise you anyhow, Lord. I've got to praise you anyhow. Yeah, some of us, we are very quick at complaining. But you've got to find the praise on the inside. He is bigger than your enemies. He is bigger than the person that is trying to stop you. And what God says, don't wait till I get there before you praise me. Don't wait, hallelujah, till I bring you out. But you've got to act like I've already done it. I'm ready to do something that will defy the enemy right in front of their face. Do I have any defiant people in the house of God that can just make some noise in the house? Look at your neighbor and shake them real good. And I say, I will shout in your face. I won't wait till the battle is over. Oh God, but I will shout now. Lord, have mercy. Look somebody in the eye and say, fret not. Oh God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Don't even get nervous about it. Don't even fret yourself about it. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't get nervous, hallelujah, about the people on your job. Fret not. Don't worry, hallelujah, about the connivers who are trying to tear you down, because they are going down, hallelujah. And when people are on their way down, they just try to pull you along with them. But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't worry. The Hebrew word for worry is Torah, which means don't burn or be kindled, because there are certain things that happen around you that trigger some things inside of you. It's to cause, it's to burn. It's something that it was just there. It was just laying dormant. And there is a sensation that brings out a response. It kindles, it triggers. In other words, there are certain things that are dormant that God has given you control over. And what happens is the devil hates to see you in a place of peace. The devil hates to see you in a place of contentment. Have you ever had joy? Hallelujah, Jesus. And all of a sudden the enemy comes in and tries to rob you of your joy. You've been asking God to give you peace, and the devil hates it when you have kind of content spirit, because a content spirit is a spirit whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because it's God who gives peace in your soul. And as you move around with him, he begins to put certain things under control. And so Satan always uses his demonic imps to upset your quality of life. And you've got to look through people. Oh, God Almighty. Yeah, sometimes you've got to look through people and see the devil that is in some of them. Because the devil uses people to mess up your quality of your being. Oh, God Almighty. I hate when the devil knows what button to push in my life. It's something about it when the devil can sit back and brag about getting to you whenever he wants you. That's an ugly thing. I hate for somebody to know what just makes me kick and makes me move. The devil knows who to send your way to get you out of character. The devil knows what words to say to you that will provoke you into anger. And you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's when the fuse is about to blow. But the psalmist lets us know to threaten ourselves. When the devil comes by, don't let them kindle you. Don't let them light up and mess up your day. God Almighty, have you ever sat in a good service and the praise and worship was nice? Hallelujah. And the preaching was nice. And sometimes before the service is over, the enemy comes and somebody says one word to you that robs you of every joy that you walked in with. All hell begins to break loose. You get back to your house and you enjoy your day, and the children begin to act up. The husband begins to act up. You get the one phone call that turns your whole Sunday all around. The devil is a liar. Fret not yourself. Wish I had a praying church that can help me prophesy. Look down your row and tell them, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. God has put you in a place of peace and has given you his presence. Hallelujah. And he is moving with you. And instead of enjoying the presence of God, you allowed Satan to kindle and light your fire. And one of the words used against Potiphar, when he said to Potiphar's anger was kindled against Joseph, the incident with his wife caused Potiphar to react. That meant Joseph was going to be destroyed. Another word here is a taunting root. Hallelujah, for fret. It is the beginning, hallelujah, of water being let out of the faucet. Don't fret. Don't let the evil doers turn on your faucet. Keep them from turning on what God has contained. See that you can enjoy you, because people will upset you to the point where you no longer can enjoy yourself. But after everything is over, who do you have but yourself to enjoy yourself with. You better learn to like yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can get along with people who like themselves. It's not that they're full of themselves, no. But people who like themselves doesn't need an encouragement every minute, every second, every hour of the day. But people who like themselves know how to pick themselves up, know how to encourage themselves, know that when somebody says something bad about them, they know how to let it run off of their shoulder. Oh, the devil loves to use people who don't like themselves and allow them to mess up your day. The devil is a liar. Mess up my day, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. God gave me that job, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to let some demon on my job try to weary me out. God gave me the house, and I'm not going to let anybody keep me from enjoying my house. God gave me the blessing, and I'm not going to let anybody stop me from enjoying what God gave me. God gave you that car, and I'm not going to let anybody stop me from driving in the car and enjoying the car that God has given me. If you know what I went through to get the stuff I had, I'm not going to have joy because God gave it to me. I wish I could preach it in the house. Oh, glory be to God. The next word here for fret is displeasure, held or felt against someone because of what another person has said or done. It's an anger here, hallelujah, that takes you out of character of who you are supposed to be. Because on the one hand, you have to socialize, but on the other hand, you have to be spiritual. And what Satan wants to do is disrupt your social interactions and mess up your spiritual life so that you cannot get what God has in store for you. I don't need you to mess up my attitude with God so you can keep on doing what you want, but I have to get to God. You are a benefit, but God is a necessity, and I have to allow him to have his way in my life. And so don't take me out of character, oh God, but it's to put me out of the path where God cannot find you. Oh yes, the enemy tries to discourse you and tries to cause you to be in a spirit of displeasure, and he wants to take you to a place where you lose your mind. Have you ever seen when godly folk begin to get out of character? Yes, I can. One singer calls to mind. She was a celebrity singer. I won't call no names, but she was on that American gospel show when they sing better than everyone and they win the award. What do you call it? Sunday Best. That's the one. Yes, and she won Sunday Best because she can sing real good, and she can hit the high notes, oh yes, and she can do the runs, and she will make your spirit and your body shake, oh yes, because she has what it takes. But two dudes, oh, one person said something to her, and she went on Facebook with a cigarette in her mouth. I ain't no lie, and every bad word that you can think of, can I preach in the house? That was coming out of her mouth. You can check it out on YouTube. Oh, yes. And she was cussing out the preachers and cussing out the church. Oh, yes. Have you ever seen when godly people lose character? Sometimes it's a sight to see. Oh, yes. But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, 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 be patient with me. God's not through with me yet. Yes, God is still working on me. I'm not always saved. yes. If you're sitting beside your wife, look at your wife and say, honey, I'm not always saved. And if you're sitting beside your friend, say, friend, if I lose character, please love me tomorrow. If I lose my mind, please hold on to me tomorrow. Don't let me go. Oh yes, because God is still working on me. He's working on my salvation. He's working on my tongue. He's working on my tongues. He's working on my eyes. I see you, Sister Gail. He's working on my salvation. He's working on me. So be patient with me. Oh yes. And that's why the writer said, fret not. Don't sit around pining over what somebody said about you. Fret not over things that they've done to you. Don't sit around doubting yourself because of certain people that go out of their way that make you angry and uncomfortable. They will spend half their day trying to rework how they can upset you. Unless I can preach in the house. They will spend half their day. Oh God Almighty, if I give you a story, somebody got me upset. At work a few weeks ago, I was one of my co-workers because they spent half the day conspiring against me. And this is somebody that I trusted in. This is somebody that I looked up to. And they spent half the day conspiring against me. And then on the next day, not even the next day, because in their conspiracy, I don't know what the devil did to them. They got angry. Oh God Almighty. You see what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for you. They were working against me, and all of a sudden they got angry. Oh God, and it took them 3 days to come to me. And they came to me in my office. And they said, well, I said, they said, can I talk to you? And I said, come on in, talk to me. And they said, well, I thought that you would come to me by now with an apology. And my spirit said, the devil, it nearly slipped out of my mouth. These ungodly people, they will look at me crazy. Sometimes you just gotta let them have it. It should have just came out of my mouth. I should have just called to the devil right there. But my spirit, sometimes, oh God, your spirit gets going. And while she's there talking, my spirit was just churning on the inside, telling me that I thought you would owe me an apology. I said, wait a minute now. You came to me because last week you conspired against me. And now you're in my office. You don't tell me the reason. I don't know the why. I don't even know what the problem is. But you want an apology from me. I tell you what. I pulled out my phone and I showed her a text message that someone sent to me on Valentine's Day. And I even sent it to my manager when this conspiracy broke out, because they were all coming against me. Little did they know. Slap your neighbor and say, I got the evidence. I have the evidence in my phone. I held on to it since Valentine's Day. I wasn't going to say nothing to nobody, because as a child of God, the word of God teaches us, don't fight in this battle, because the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. He said if you'd hold your peace, then the Lord will fight your battles. I held on to it February 14th. The text came in my phone from one of the co-workers. And it said, Jermaine, you've got to listen to this. They wrote it to me in a text message. And they called out the people. And they said they're talking bad about you. And that you need to get a hold and control in your department. And I said, I'm not worried about it. All they want is my portfolio, because people are fighting against me to take my job. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I said, I'm not worried about it. It was a longer text, but I'm just giving you the short form. And when she came into my office and said, demanded me an apology, I pulled out my phone and I showed her the text message that had her name written on it with everybody else. And it blames her for spreading the rumor about the Bishop Germain. Oh, can I preach in the house? And she looked at me with shame and embarrassment in her eyes. And I said, you can leave now. Hallelujah, Jesus. The story was done. She didn't speak to me again since then. Clap your hands for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes. Don't fret over what the enemy is doing. Oh God Almighty, because when God is getting ready to defend your case, he will put everybody around you to shame. He will stand up in the courtroom if he has to. He will stand up in the doctor's office if he has to. He will stand up in the school and he will be your defense. Drop your neighbor and say, stop worrying about it. Fret not yourself, because the Lord has heard your cry. He has seen your tears. No need to worry. No need to complain. I wish I could preach it in my house, but the Lord is about to put the enemy to shame. And everybody who spoke evil against you, he's getting ready to silence you now. Of the enemy. That's why he said in his word, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue, oh God Almighty, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody in my house, every tongue that rises up against you shall be condemned. Sit down among those who. Hallelujah. One word for fret. Yes, it is another description that says not to give it thought. They put it like this, out of sight, out of mind. Oh yes, to stop your mind from processing negative thoughts, because that will invade you and completely overwhelm you. And here now you'll be young with wrinkles on your face, fretting about going certain places because you don't like certain people. You don't go to the grocery store anymore because certain people work there. And you can't visit any churches anymore because certain people go there. Oh God Almighty, I was watching this documentary, and you know I'm a little bit of a goof, I'm a little bit of a nerd, I'm like my father. My TV, it never comes off of the Discovery Channel. I love to watch the animals. Oh God, I feel like it's in the blood. And I was watching the Discovery Channel, and the documentary came on. And one woman says she's been struggling for years after years, and she can't stop her mind from going into certain thoughts, and it's a disease and a sickness. And every time her mind, oh yes, she was driving on a bridge, and all of a sudden her mind started to think, well, what if the car crashes and gets into the bridge? Well, if she was living 2 weeks ago, she would have found out the answer. Hello, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And then she could be walking in the park, and all of a sudden, a gunman will come out, and her mind begins to take her places, and she will curl up on the floor, and they give her medication. Oh, yes. And since she was young, it followed her. It was a serious disease, and they had to take her to a doctor in a university that had to prescribe the right medication for her, because she could not stop her mind from thinking certain thoughts of evil. evil that will spiral out of control. But hear fret means, do not think evil. Do not even try to get your mind to process certain thoughts. Yes, do not allow for your mind to reach to certain levels. Some of us, thank God, it's First Sunday, so it's neither Woman Sunday or Man Sunday, so I can preach on anybody that I want, because some of these ladies, we allow our minds to get to certain places, and you start to think all these types of thoughts. Especially some of these married women. The husband can't even leave the house without your mind spiraling out of control, because your mind is telling you all sorts of nonsense. Oh yes, while a man is laid back and cool, some of you, our minds, even though the apple is just green, but your mind is taking you to when the apple gets rotten and worms will start to grow out of it. And then, it's a building after building, and you're just building your mind precept on precept, and you're laying it out, and it can get carried away over something that has not even manifested as yet. Dreams, Brother Patrick, and things that happen in their dreams. When they wake up out of their dream, they're angry at us over something that has happened in their dream. Thank God my wife's not here. Oh yeah. One man told me he was sleeping and the wife got a dream. And in her dream, one box fell right in the husband's side. She knew what she was doing too. She said, "Yes, because I was dreaming that you were with that next woman." One talk. My wife just texted me and said, "Really, Jay?" Problem now when I get it. There is one more word for fret. That means thunder. It's a thunder. It's an anger again. And the enemy is a description of Peninnah's vexation of Hannah. She was childless and she kept on fretting over the woman's childless state because of the relationship that she wanted to have with Elkanah. And Elkanah loved both of the women, the Bible says. But Peninnah is mistreating Hannah. And when she mistreats Hannah, Elkanah suffers. Not because of his behavior, but because of somebody else. Can I speak to about two or three people? Amen. About third parties. Third parties, they will upset you and cause you to be upset with somebody that you love, when it's the other person that you should really be upset with. Don't take your anger out on me, please. What somebody else is going to do. But you've got to learn how to close off certain people so that it will not affect you in your life right now. And what God is saying is to pick up your attitude and put it above people that are trying to pull you down, down to where they are, down to their level. Some people will anger you just because you live a holy life. Some people will anger you just because they're tired of seeing you live an upright life, and they just want to prove to everybody that you're not as saved as you say you are. And so they will do their very best just to get you into their corner. Yes, Sanballat and Tobias, they tried it against Nehemiah. And they said, come out where we are so that we can get you. And Nehemiah looked at them and said, I'm not coming where you are. Because if I come out to you, you're about to destroy me. You're about to make me become who you are. And I've been praying too long just to get where I am. I've cried too many nights just to get where I am. I've had to fast and I've had to pray. Pray over my family and pray over your children. You've had to pray over your job just to keep your house consecrated. And how dare the enemy try to pull you out of your corner just to get you to where you are. The devil is a liar, but you've got to rise above that. I'm not stooped to their level. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. I'm not going to hell for nobody. I'm not going to sacrifice my salvation for anybody. I'm not going to get my name dragged through the mud just because of anybody. But it took me a long time for God to pull me out of the ditches. It took me a long time for God to wash me clean. I was not born saved, but it was year after year after year. I wish I could help somebody in here today. It was a process of salvation for you. Hallelujah. So the devil's got to shut up now while you live your life the best that you can. I feel the God in the house. Oh, give somebody a high five and tell them we're on our way to Jubilee tonight. Oh, yes. Notice now he says, fret not and don't envy anybody, because whatever they're doing to you is only temporary. And when God gets ready, he's going to pull the plug. Ah, yes, he's going to pull the plug. And this is how we know that victory is just around the corner. This is how we know that God is getting ready to intervene. This is how we know that God is about to send the answer. Yes. Oh, glory to God. We've got to find God in the midst of all that we're going through. God did not give me a mind to let people drive me crazy. The devil is a liar. Nobody can bother you if you let them. And if you let them make you, if you let them make you sad, if you let them make you mad, then that is your doing. That is your choice. That is your business. But I dare you, hallelujah, to lift up a praise to the King. Anytime the enemy is after you, you've got to find a place of praise. Anytime the wind is raging, you've got to find a place of praise, yes, that you can give to God. People are trying to keep you from the next level, but he will lift you up past them. Oh, glory be to God. Adrian, just turn this up a little bit here. People are mad at you now. Oh, but wait until God begins to prove himself even more in your life. They're upset at you now, but I see God seated on the throne. I wish I had somebody that was looking into the spirit. That everything that you've been praying for, everything that you've been asking God for, everything that the enemy pointed fingers at you and laughed at you and said, aha, aha, I see God seated on the throne now. And he says, oh yes, you have bared the cross, you have carried the shame, you have carried the pain. And the Lord said, lift up your head, all ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Oh, because the King of Glory is about to make his way in. He's about to turn the tables around. He's about to make the enemy become your footstool. He's about to make everything that tried to destroy your life. Yes, you're going to be climbing over it now. You can jump through troops and you can leap over walls. Where are the praises in the house? Oh, he's about to give you a name above every other name. He's about to give you everything that the enemy fought you. And when you thought it was over, he's about to give you an enlargement. Somebody say enlarge. Somebody
say, it's not over yet. I'm not giving you everything that I promised you. You have not met the promises of God as yet. Who am I preaching to in the house? You have only lived a little bit of your life, and I made you a promise. And he says, a promise I've got to keep. I've got to keep this promise to your children's children, to your children's children's children. He says, I've got to keep this promise until the devil knows your name. I've got to keep this promise until the enemy is put to shame. I've got to keep this promise, the Lord says, until you get the victory over and over again. I've got to keep a promise so that your neighbor and say, a promise is about to be fulfilled. The Lord is saying, I've got to keep a promise until the victory, hallelujah, until the battle is over. You shall not die in this place. You shall not die in your worry. You shall not die in the shame. You will not die. Oh God Almighty. Oh God Almighty. Oh God Almighty. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. The victory shall be yours. He shall lift you up above everything. You don't have to fret what they're saying about you. Oh yes, you don't have to worry about what's going on. Oh, but if you don't fret, then what do you have to do? Slap your neighbor one time and say, neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Oh, glory to God. Trust. Slap your neighbor and say, trust. Come on, tell him like you mean it. Say, trust. Yes. Trust him with all your might. Trust him with all your soul, your body and your spirit. Trust is your security. It is a result from having some trust in a person or a being, someone to confide in. If I'm fretting, it's because you're putting your confidence in what it does not belong in. But I'm putting my confidence, I'm putting my trust in my God in whom I believe. You can speak all you want to. That's not going to change my life. You can conspire against me all you want to. That is not going to change my life. You can whisper about me all you want to. But that is not going to change my life. But I have a treasure in earthen vessel. I wish I could preach it in the house. Oh, because I have a confidence in what God says. And he says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. He says that you wouldn't put more on me than what I can bear. He says, I'm getting ready to escape the mouth of a lion. Who am I preaching to in the house? Oh, you're getting ready to find your way clear. Come on and I'll find your neighbor and say, I'm about to trust the Lord. I'm about to put my trust in him. Slap your neighbor like you never mean it. That you would never believe could ever happen to you. But I'm believing for God to do something big. Somebody holler big.
For you, you've got to trust and fret not.
I can see the tears rolling down your face. Yes, wondering how did I get here? Oh God Almighty, wondering, Lord, have mercy. Wondering, God, is this the will for my life? Oh yes. But the Lord, He has sent you here today for me to remind you, oh God, oh, that the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night, oh God, but He shall preserve your soul even forevermore. Because it says, He said, my help, oh, comes from the Lord. The Lord sent you here for me to remind you, hallelujah, Jesus, oh, that I am with you always, even until the very end. The Lord sent me you here for me to remind you of His promise, remind you that He is a promise-keeping God. Don't allow for the enemy to back you in a corner. And don't allow your voice to become trapped, says the Lord. But He says that I am with you always. And He's carrying the load. Oh, God Almighty. He's carrying the load. He's carrying the fear. He's carrying the doubt. The Lord says, I'm bearing it all for you. And you're going to see that I am God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Hallelujah, Jesus. Of what the Lord is about to do for you. Glory be to God. I can't finish the protection. But let me give you the final verse, because the word of God says, hallelujah, that not only do you trust, hallelujah, but He moves you into a place of delight. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and the secret petition of your heart. Yes, He takes you from fear, and He puts a desire inside of you. He takes you from threat, and He says, this is your desire. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how He moves me from fear and threat into a place of desire. But Lord, any way you do it, I will be satisfied. Because the enemy has tried to hold you hostage. I don't know if you know it, but fret, worry is a sin, and so you can't worry about it anymore. Fretting over it, don't worry about it anymore, but cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Hallelujah, lean on Him, depend on Him, because He takes you from fret, He takes you from worry, to a place of trust, and after trust, comes the desire. How many of you ever desired something from the Lord? Yes, I'm talking about a spiritual desirement, something that will cause you to let your faith be taken to the next level. I'm not talking about a desire, because some of our desires are crazy. Some of you will desire a next man's husband, a next man's wife. I'm not talking about that kind of a desire. I'm talking about a desire that will put your faith in a place of grounded solidity. I'm talking about a desire that only wants God and God alone. I'm talking about a desire that pushes you into a place that even trouble is on every side. Hallelujah, Jesus. But because you have a desire and a trust in God, it doesn't matter what is happening around you. My faith looks up to Thee, O God.
Joy, peace, and happiness.
get to in God. Or you'll never be the same again.
Amen.
Amen. There's a place in God.
Oh yeah.
That we don't have to wait till we die and get to heaven to get the real benefits of our salvation. But we can receive it right down here on earth. It exists. It exists. So you've got to find your place. You've got to put your spirit and your mind with all that is happening around you. You've got to put yourself in a place that fully trusts the Lord with everything. I've been there. I'm not 24 hours happy. If I was 24 hours a day happy, I'd look like I was on, what is it called? Prozempic? One of those medications that keep people happy forever. But I've been there when things all around me, you should really be angry. Should really be upset. I've been there where things, when you really should have just lashed out. You've been in a place, that same place, you just maintained your joy. You maintained your happiness. You maintained the peace that God has given to you. I believe so much in it. I believe so much in it that this place does exist in the presence of God, and that will manifest itself out into the natural realm, into your daily lifestyle. And when people say things against you, when people speak ill against you, there's a place in God where never have to worry. You've got to learn how to trust in God. This is what David says, trust Him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. I want everybody to find that joy, that jubilee in knowing God. Amen. In knowing God. The happiness in knowing God. The full contentment in knowing God.